I'd like to. So I am Nayaswami Parvati. I'm from Ananda Village, and I'm very happy to be here with you today. We'll have a little presentation for the Janaka Foundation after Sunday service, which David Praver will tell you more about. And in the meantime, we have Sunday service. And I would like to read to you from Whispers from Eternity. Beads, prayers on the beads of love. I tell my prayers on the beads of love, strung with my devotion. I direct them beyond all names, God, Spirit, Brahma, Christ, Shankara, Krishna, Buddha, Mohammed, for all names are thine. And I shun no name, for I know that thou dwellest in all forms. In thy cosmic dramas on the stage of time, and in thy myriad acting roles, thou hast assumed innumerable names. Behind them all, I too know thy one changeless name, eternal, conscious, self-existent bliss. Many times have I played with thee, many songs of thine have I sung. On the ocean bosom of thy eternal life, I've been nurtured by thee as a tiny drop of life. I remember thy warm touch through the centuries, whenever, feeling the chill of separation, I turned homeward to thee. Again, in this daylight of remembrance, let me play with thee, let me sing thy songs. So, I want to share with you a little thing that my husband used a week or two ago at Sunday service because it was very fun. So a man goes to a spiritual teacher and wants guidance. And the spiritual teacher looks at him and he says, "All right, this is what I want you to do. You don't need to read anything. You don't need to study or anything. I want you simply to go out into the forest and raise your arms up and feel what you feel in the forest." And so the man says, "Okay, a little unusual, but I'll do that." So he goes out into the forest on a day when, unfortunately, it happens to be raining. And so he stands there, he puts his arms up in silence and gets rained on for however long he's there. And so he comes back to the spiritual teacher, and he says, "So how did it go? What happened?" And so he says, "Well, I went out into the forest. It was pouring down rain. I lifted my arms up. The rain poured all over me and down my back, and I looked like a fool. I felt like a fool." And the spiritual teacher said, "Not bad for the first week." For all of us, we need to go beyond the mind and the intellect to really understand God. And so the readings this week on common sense, unfortunately common sense is not all that common when it comes to spirituality and religion. And we can see that being played out all over the world today. But Yogananda, when he came to America and when he came into this incarnation and started his mission, brought that very, very dynamically. He brought the understanding that miracles are understandable, the law of miracles. And he brought the understanding that devotion brings faith, and faith brings God, and it's tangible. You can actually have a direct experience of that. In fact, in the autobiography of a yogi, one of the saints that he visits, Bhaduri Mahashai, says, "Well, you've had all of this and this and done all these various things spiritually, but do you have anubhava, direct perception of God?" And Yogananda said, "I realize that, you know, all of the practices of meditation and everything, the right attitudes and all of that, but do you have direct perception of God? Because that is the real goal. However you get there, that is the goal." And so with us, we have the luck of knowing about a great avatar that brought that mix of the miraculous and the divine and common sense and intuitive perception all together. We have a study group at Ananda, one of several that are happening at Ananda Village, and we're focusing on our study group. Our little group wanted to do the autobiography, so we're just going through chapter by chapter, and you know, you'd think, wow, I don't know, do we want to just go through? But every time we go through several chapters, it's like, all the things that are in that book are just astounding. But for me, looking at the overall flow of it, what I was realizing is, one, how much Yogananda and Sri Yukteswar are interacting throughout all of those chapters and those stories, even when he tells a story as seemingly a sideline about the Mohammedan wonder worker. It was Sri Yukteswar who told him about that. It was Sri Yukteswar who told him the story about that. And Sri Yukteswar would perform many miracles, but in a very common sense, day-to-day way. In other words, if you weren't looking, you might not think it really happened. And so in one of those, Yogananda comes to Sri Yukteswar. He's actually talked with him, and Sri Yukteswar said, I see in your future you're going to have some physical pain and some trouble. Get a bangle, and that will help with that, a particular kind of bangle. So he does that, and Yogananda forgets about this prediction of Sri Yukteswar's, and then he comes down with excruciating pain, and he toughs it out for about 23 days. And Sri Yukteswar had said it will last 24 days. And he toughs it out for 23 days, and then he drags himself to Sri Yukteswar's ashram. And Sri Yukteswar doesn't really notice him at all. He doesn't pay much attention. And Yogananda, in great pain, sits in the corner of the room, and all these people are there, and it's a wonderful satsang for everybody except him. And then finally, afterwards, Sri Yukteswar says, come here, come here. He said, now let's see, it must be around 23 or 24 days since I told you about that thing that would happen. And Yogananda said, yes. And he said, try to do the stomach exercise for me. And Yogananda says, if you knew how much pain I'm in, you wouldn't ask me to do that. But he says, I did try feebly to do that. And then Sri Yukteswar looks at him and he says, you say you are in pain. I say you aren't. And with that, it goes away. It's the end of that time. It's the 24th day, and that pain disappears. But what Sri Yukteswar, and Yogananda wants to thank him and all that, but what Sri Yukteswar is really saying is, it's in your mind. It's common sense. It's a workable thing. If you work with your mind, You're not sick. You're not feeling that pain. And there are many, many, many instances in the autobiography, if you go through it chapter by chapter, and like in our little group, we study. We study beforehand, and then we discuss what was most meaningful to you about those two or three chapters that we just read, and have nice discussions about that. But there's a lot going on in there, but it's all grounded in, this is what you can do. This is attainable. This is not something that I've done and I'm a master and good luck out there, you know. It's really something that's attainable for you. The other thing about common sense and dogma, I wanted to share with you a deeply meaningful story. It's a direct experience that I had, and I shared it a couple of months ago at Ananda Village. But it was very, very sweet to me. In the 1970s, and this happened in January 1979, a few years before that, Swami Kriyananda had met a man called Richard Wurmbrand. And I believe he might have met him in Switzerland when Swami was traveling in Europe and met him there, heard him speak. Somehow he knew about him, and I can't remember exactly the initial contact, But Richard Wurmbrand was from Romania, and so that may be why there may have been some connection there. But he was a Jew who converted to Christianity and became some kind of a Christian minister. I'm not sure if it was Lutheran or Baptist or whatever, but very fundamental in his beliefs. And he jokingly said, when I lived in Romania, the Nazis persecuted me because I was Jewish, and then the communists came in and they persecuted me because I was a Christian. So, and he said that with a light heart, although he had been through quite a lot in his lifetime. But this experience was different. He came to speak at the North Star Christian Academy in January 1979. And I had seen him speak the year before because Swami had talked about him and thought very highly of him as having someone who'd been through a lot, experienced a lot, but really took the high note, became a saint through that. And I had seen him in Chico the year before, and he was trying to wake people up who were kind of saying they were Christians but were kind of asleep and weren't really doing much, living their lives in that way. And so it was okay. I thought, well, that was okay. And so when he came to Grass Valley, a lot of us, because Swami was going to see him, a lot of us went with him. So there were about 70 people from Ananda Village that went to this talk. And the way the talk was arranged was that the audience, the main part, sat here. He stood as the speaker, Richard Wurmbrand, looking out, and then overflow was behind him. Well, we were the main audience. The other Christians that had come to see him ended up sitting behind. It just happened that way. We didn't plan it, but we filled up the space, and then they were sitting. So he was directing his talk to us and Swami. Now, Richard Wurmbrand, he said about himself that he spent 14 years plus in a very brutal kind of solitary confinement. He said where we were, it was 30 feet underground, there were no birds, there was no sun, there was no human contact at all. And he was there for a long, long time. But when he came out, his experience had been this, that he said, when I came out of prison, I felt like I was coming from a mountaintop descending down into the valley. He had had very, very deep experiences in that solitary confinement. And so when he started to speak, beforehand, Swami Kriyananda had met him privately, just the two of them. And Richard Wurmbrand immediately said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Not the only Son of God, but the Son of God. And Swami said, yes. And so there was that. And then he moved on to the Muslims and what Swami, and Swami said, well, I don't really know about that. And then he said, Richard Wurmbrand said, what do you think of Hitler? And Swami Kriyananda said, well, he was a man who did evil, but he was a man. And then Richard Wurmbrand got called away. He was very busy and very popular, called on. So he got that. This was right before he gave the talk, and so he got called away. And then we all had dinner. They provided dinner. And another very sweet thing that happened was Richard Wurmbrand was going around visiting the people in the various rooms where the dinner was being served. And he walked into our room. Immediately, Swami stood up and started to walk toward him, just very sweet, very childlike, very open. And he deeply respected Richard Wurmbrand for what he had been through. But he, you know, Richard Wurmbrand said, well, no, I just wanted to say hello and I've got to go. And then because of all of that, when he started to speak, and Swami Kriyananda told us about all of this the next day, he said, I wasn't sure if he would lambast us or what would happen, because he had also said, do you know who we are? And our name is Ananda. And when he said that, Kriyananda said, do you know what that means? And he said, yes. You know, just very heavy. And then that little interchange about Hitler and all that other stuff happened. So Swami wasn't quite sure what would happen during this talk. But Richard Wurmbrand, I think, really felt who we were vibrationally. And I happened to be sitting behind Swami, but just off to the side where I could see Richard Wurmbrand, but he was talking directly to Swami during almost the entire talk. And what happened was, is that he'd start out like I had seen him the year before, just kind of, and then he'd just shift into another gear. And he talked about the silence in that prison cell and the fact that it was so deep and so beautiful and so sweet. And he just went on. It was like he was reliving it. He just went on and on about it. And I thought, well, he's talking about Om. This is a dog, you know, fundamental Christian minister here. And then he moved on from there. And I wanted to read this because I did write down a little bit about this. But he started to talk about two or three times, and his talk was over an hour long, but two or three times during his talk, he said, you must forget yourself, this I, so that he, meaning Christ, can come into us, and he becomes our I. He acts through us. And when he was saying this, he got so excited about it. He was so reliving that experience. And I thought, my God, he's talking about Vedanta, one with Christ. I mean, again, a fundamental, dogmatic Christian minister. But his direct experience had been way beyond that. And he, again, was looking directly at Swami and feeling we weren't resisting him at all in all of this. We were right with him and knew what he was talking about. And then the last part where he talked, he said, there is a brother who is in prison right now, and he could be free if he just said three words. And this is prison in Romania. Three words. I deny Christ. But he said, he can't say that because he and Christ, I mean, they've become one. And who is there to deny to who? You know, there's nobody there to deny Christ. And again, I thought, wow. I mean, this is an experience way beyond what he would normally have had, but forced into that by circumstance. And again, he was running his hands through his hair. He was somewhere else when he was talking to us about all of this. And I think he was reliving that direct experience. And then at the very end, he kind of looked at all of us and he said, so, I understand that you're all from a local commune. And he looked at Swami and he said, but all your women, they're all beautiful. Is that a requirement to get into the commune? And Swami laughed and he said, no, they become so. Yeah. And then it kind of ended, the talk kind of ended. That was the end. And I don't think Swami ever had the chance to reconnect with him after that because he had to move on. He visited many local Christian churches in California and probably many other places that I don't know about. But it was thrilling. And the atmosphere in that room, to me, was electrifying. Because here was a man who had gone, you know, and we're talking about dogma and common sense. Well, he skipped the common sense part and went right to intuitive perception. And he was sharing with us very deeply what that had been about. And we were very receptive to what he was saying. So it's interesting. It just reminded me of this topic and thinking that anything is really possible. You know, we live our lives, but there's all these different levels going on. And we really need to be aware of that. Obviously, Richard Wurmbrand was ready for that to happen. He got put in that position that was extreme in prison, and rather than dying, which he should have done, or collapsing, he rose to the heights spiritually and came back to help other people, to try to wake them up and get them more engaged. But that moment in time for me was very deep. I've never forgotten it. And it made me realize that it's important to, you know, we look at people and think, oh, well, they're a dogmatic Christian. But you never quite know what's actually going on inside. And so to really just leave that open and relate to people where they're at, for sure. We don't try to, put people down or give them more than they're ready for, but to really, for all of us, be a channel for light. And really, in this time, I think that's really, really important in the time that we're in, to feel like you're centered in yourself and really just wherever you go, and not like, I'm here, but just more you're centered in yourself and being a channel for light wherever you go, whether it's down to the market here or out on the street or coming to Sunday service or whatever it is, that you always are in that, living in that light and channeling that light to whatever circumstance, whatever people you run into, all of that, because that will draw the highest out of people. People are looking for light, they're looking for meaning, they're looking for understanding in this time, and the chaos will probably get better, more, you know, so it's a moment for all of us to take that on and to really, really be channels of light out into this world. And remembering someone like Richard Wurmbrand, anything is possible.